been better. By the time I came to myself, it was night.
And cold, I'll warrant.
A kind of numb cold. Deadly. Sickening. I roused myself up, and then I saw this house, close behind me. And weak and ill as I was, I dragged myself to it. My only hope. There was a big room, several beds in it. Like a barracks.
And so you slept.
Lucky to survive so far.
When did you wake?
Morning. And instead of coming into a world of sanity, it was as if I'd wakened into a nightmare. I was in a great, bare, whitewashed dormitory. With a man in front of me. Small. Dwarfly. With a huge, bulbous head.
Take!
That's his hands. He was waving them about in excitement. Horrible. Like brown sponges.
Deformed.
Which is often that.
How can that be?
Godfrey? He wasn't alone. Behind him stood a whole group. Seemed intensely amused at it all. Oh, but not me. For not one of them was a normal, whole human being. Every one of them was twisted, or swollen, or disfigured in some awful way. And their laughter.
My God.
Yes. It was a leper hospital, Jimmy.
And you?
And I had slept in a leper's bed. Don't touch me, Jimmy.
My God.
I hoped against hope. But I was not to escape. As you see.
And so, you conspired to avoid the consequences. Segregation for life. Among strangers. Never a hope of release. Sir, this is my son.
You may say I was lucky.
Lucky?
I was home, in this lonely house. We had Ralph and his wife as our only servants, whom we could utterly trust. This lodge where I could live. And Mr. Kent here was prepared to stay with me.
Under pledge of secrecy. But so much now for that.
My God. And will you then, Godfrey, be dragged to your doom? All through my determination to seek you out.
Oh, you're not to blame, Mr. Dodd.
I would not have forced your hand thus, Colonel Emsworth. When I wrote, rather than spoke, the word leprosy, it was to indicate to you that my discretion could be trusted. And who knows, but good may come of this exposure.
How can any good come of it?
May I ask, Mr. Kent, if you're an authority on this complaint?
I am a surgeon, sir. I have the ordinary knowledge of the educated medical man.
I don't seek to doubt your competence, sir, but perhaps you may permit of a second opinion.
If you have a specialist in mind.
But look here. If this second opinion forces us to segregate Godfrey, I'd rather not have it at all.
You need have no fear of that. Now, in the carriage is waiting a friend of mine. A specialist in the field of tropical disease, in whose discretion you may trust as completely as in my own. You may have heard of him, Mr. Kent. Sir James Saunders.
Heard of him? The most distinguished...
So that's who he is.
Oh, I shall indeed be proud to hear his advice.
Please ask Sir James in, Mr. Holmes. Our secret is out, in any case. What greater knowledge can hurt us now?
Well, well. So, you met Monsieur Jules Gervaise at the Reichenbach Falls. One of my professional rivals, Mrs. Watson.
One of many.
But a good one. On pilgrimage, eh?
We all were, Mr. Holmes. Though we didn't necessarily know it at the time.
You flatter me.
No, Holmes. We merely render unto Caesar.
Well, I wrote some good things of you, didn't I?
Ah, let us see, shall we? Since you now feel you can do without me, to the extent of becoming your own biographer.
An experiment, Doctor. You urge me to do it often enough.
Page one. A companion to whom the future is always a closed book.
You missed limited ideas there at the beginning.
It's been exceedingly pertinacious just afterwards. You entirely ignore all the good things I put down about you.
You certainly failed to mention that I should have diagnosed a case of leprosy right away.
But you were not here, my dear fellow. That's the point.
In any case, it was not leprosy after all.
Ichthyosis. I can recognize pseudo-leprosy as well as Sir James Saunders and Holmes here on page 4.